If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
It is the Nintendo PowerCast episode 345. I'm your host.
You got it right this time.
I got it right. Yes. Round of applause. Thank you so much. Player two, Crawler. What's going on, dude?
Hey, how's it going? Crawler coming at you.
Player three, Johnny Bo. What's going on?
What's up? I'm happy to be here. I'm excited.
And player four, Cheesy. What's happening?
What's going on, Cheese Curds?
This is a fun night. We got a few announcements first, though, before we get started. The Smash Bros. Tournament is happening the last Saturday of the month, okay? So a week from this Saturday, Smash Bros. Tournament. It's free to sign up, n64josh.com/smash. Go sign up now. If you win, you get a $20 Amazon gift card. Second prize is 10. Third is $5, okay?
And there's no Genesis going on, so there's no excuse.
No Genesis going on. Come hang out. Play some Smash, even if you don't think
you're that good. Have your own Genesis.
Yeah, that's right. Have your own Genesis. So that's happening. The Nintendo Power Club is now officially launched. We have two different tournaments happening throughout the rest of the month of January. All you got to do is jump in the Discord, n64josh.com/discord. Fire up Mario Golf Super Rush and play the first course with the settings that you'll see in the Discord, and then post pictures of your best score. You can play as many times as you want. Just post your best score. And if you have the best score at the end of the month, you win a $5 eShop card. We're also doing time trials in Mario Kart 64, Luigi's Raceway. Okay. So if you get the fastest time, post the picture. You can snap a picture with your Switch, take a move it to your phone, and upload it to Discord. If you have the fastest time, you get a $5 eShop card. That's it. That's like, all you got to do.
Josh is like Oprah over here. You get a gift card.
Well, I want to put a little bit of an incentive in here, you know, like a little bit of incentive. So I also want feedback, right? I need to hear from people. Maybe these aren't the two best games. Maybe we need to go back to Super Mario Kart. More people will have it. The first two we're doing is Super Rush and Mario Kart 64. It's going to be kind of similar going forward. Like, we'll pick two, like the golf thing is going to continue. We're just going to pick a different course, different settings.
And we can maybe even go 1 week SNES, 1 week 64, 1 week Mario Kart 8. Like, we can cycle those through maybe to give everyone an opportunity if they don't have the online or the.
Well, and the thing with 64 is some people ask me, they're like, does it matter? Like, it doesn't matter. You could take a picture of your actual, if you're playing on the Wii U, maybe, or you're playing on the Wii, or you're playing on the actual 64, just snap a shot and then, you know, you're good to go. So, speaking of 64, I did pick up a limited edition of the Mario Kart 64 from Japan. Okay. It's a Mario Kart 64. From Japan, and I'm gonna be doing an unboxing right here on YouTube. If that's where you're watching, maybe you're on Twitch, whatever, but it will be on YouTube. So stay tuned for that, because it's actually super cool, and it has a 64 controller that I have never seen before. Pretty stoked for that. So that's pretty much it for housekeeping. I do want to say, make sure to give Crawler a follow on Twitter. That's at Nightcrawler 724 Crawler.
I was tweeting today. I actually tweeted today.
He was tweeting.
Whoa!
There you go. We are posting articles prior to the show going live that will have questions that you guys can answer if you want at n64josh.com. Johnny Bo is Johnny Bo everywhere. All right. And Cheesy, I'm going to let you say yours so I make sure you get the name. I want to get it right because I know the spelling.
It's Cheesy C64, CHEEZYC64 everywhere. You can find me everywhere.
Perfect. Perfect. I do want to point out, I'm looking at chat right now, and we have, this is from Trust No One. It says, Rice Bowl was safe last episode. You did great on the Pokemon segment.
We're talking about leaks. We're talking about leaks this week, so we're not talking about leaks. Don't turn it off.
No, so there was one other thing that I was like, wait, I need to mention this, and it just totally slipped my mind. So we're gonna jump into this. We've all been playing a game called Backwind that launched on the Switch today, and we're gonna you're gonna get a review here. A live review. I'm gonna take crawler screen, and he's gonna go full screen here because we want to see the gameplay. But Cheesy, you blew through this game, and so I'm gonna let you kick it off here. Like, what are your thoughts about Blackwind?
Yeah, so I probably beat this game 2 weeks ago, maybe in like 2-3 days, maybe. It's a really cool game. It's got a lot of cool ideas, but I wanted to like it more than I did. It's kind of clunky in some areas, and I think the best way to explain it, and maybe I don't know if you guys agree with this or not, but it does feel kind of like a top-down Metroidvania when you're inside of the buildings. But then when you're outside, it's kind of like just free roam.
And I don't have a map right now, and I'm so lost. I'm outside, and it's difficult.
And yeah, the camera
is a little difficult as well.
Agreed. Because like sometimes
you don't have control on it, and it just goes in and out, and it is kind of free roam, but it is kind of direct path based as well. Like, yeah, it's different.
Yeah, and like there are times where you're going to be attacked by enemies that you can't even see yet until you like approach them, or you just are getting shot at and you're like, okay, I got to run the other way now because I'm not prepared for this.
I felt like the outside, there's a little bit of like puzzle platforming too.
Yes,
like there was some, I would say, light puzzle platforming. It's not going to, even Josh can figure them out. So
that gate down there at the bottom of the hill that I was just at, I know I need to turn it off, but like, I don't know where a generator button is to turn it off. Like,
yeah,
I'm cool. Assuming that's where I need to go, but
it's about this character named James, and his dad builds what are called battle frames, and the government kind of got a hold of them for their own gain. And the battle frames were supposed to be made for good. And so James is in the battle frame trying to find his dad that was shot down in one of the aircrafts that he was in. And that's kind of the premise. It's, you know, you are collecting abilities as you walk around these rooms and areas outside. And it's fun. It has a lot of cool ideas. It just doesn't execute them very well. Mm.
And there's melee. It's kind of a twin stick. If you want it to be, it's a twin stick shooter.
You never use the shooter. You never. I haven't used.
But
the
you
shooter.
Also, like, I'm using melee blades right now. Like, you also have these swords that come out of your arms, and then also when you prime an enemy up for execution, you can execute with A against a whole bunch of enemies. There's also two kind of paths that you can take where you can either be a just kill the enemy path or a execute them, and you get more health and XP out of it. There's like two different kind of school of thought. So however you want to play, you can kind of gear your battle frame for that. But what it's lacking is UI when you're especially outside, because again, I'm just wondering.
The thing that I know, like right off the bat, it was a strong, like, the story started off strong, right? I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I feel pretty invested, right? And then jumping into the game, I was like, this is okay. I kept wanting to like it more than I did. Like, I watching the trailers and everything, I was like, this looked really, it looked really good. But in the, it did feel like the execution was a little bit short. Like, it just fell a little bit short, you know? And it wasn't the kind of thing that I was immediately pulled in and wanted to, like, keep going. It was like, okay, I'm going to keep going because I want to make sure I can talk about this on the podcast. But it just didn't do what I was hoping it would. Now, looking at chat, like, Mikey, the Time Wizard, says, I played some today and I've been enjoying it so far. Right. So
there are a lot of ideas. I like the upgrade. I like the little light RPG aspects of it, that you could upgrade your mech a bit. There's collectibles, like my mech looks like Iron Man right now. So that's always fun. And there's a lot of them. I think there's probably like 20 different suits that you could find throughout the worlds. Crawler was just floating in midair for no reason. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you guys. I think it is a little clunky, but it's still fun. It's like a no-think game, you know, just mash buttons. Until you get buttons. To this point
where I'm trying to figure it out.
We're crawling. I feel like I never have it.
There's this giant teleporter here, but it takes me back, and then I feel like I backed. Like, again, it's just lack of direction when it just is a prompt, go to the military base, and yet I can't look and see where I'm supposed to go.
Yeah, there's not a map and when you're inside the buildings, but at least on the floor, it tells you, like, okay, mm-hmm. going this direction is going to take you to the lab, or going to this direction is going to take you to the weapons room. So yeah, you at least have a better idea of where you're going versus being outside.
And you get that element of exploration and stuff, which is kind of cool, being in a suit like that and getting to go kind of explore the world. But at the same time, when you spend a long time wandering, at some point, throw up a marker or something, you know, like, like, give me a hint. I'd be all right with that. So, but overall, like, what would you guys give this out of 10? Like, where are we sitting?
I go with like 10? A 7. I think a 7.
Yeah,
I think there's some good ideas, and you know, the combat is pretty fun. The melee, I don't think I ever used the gun. Like, that's the first thing they show you, and then like I was just meleeing everything and then using rockets. But I think a 7. I'll give a 7.
Cheesy, how about you?
I think I probably give it a 6, and I think it's because like the further that I got into the game, I was just, and this, it sounds bad when you have to say this, but you were just wanting it to be done. It felt a little repetitive. There was some platforming issues that just seemed impossible unless you did it exactly the way that they had programmed it. Sometimes like you'd be flying in the air, but because there's an object down below, the game knows that that space is being used. So you would hit an invisible wall. Mm-hmm. So just like stuff like that. Yeah, I think it's 6, which it still is a fun game. I just wanted to like it more.
Yeah. I'm sitting at around a 6.5. So like,
I'm right with you, Josh, like right in between those two.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so this is Blackwind. I believe it's $19.99 on the eShop. It launched today. It, you know, it might be something that's right up your alley. You know, of course, check a few other reviews and stuff.
The icon's really cool.
Yes, it is. Yes, it absolutely is. Like, it almost makes me wish there was a multiplayer, like
a fight mode.
Like,
yeah.
Like an arena. Yeah. You know, like if there was an arena where we were all in our different mechs, just kind of like a 4v4 free for all or something, that would be pretty fun. So King Raymar wants to know if the Steel Battalion controller is compatible with this game. It's got a mech in it. So there you go. I did see we had a raid. So welcome on in, Raiders. Glad you're here. Thank you. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. And yeah, I think that's going to do it for Blackwind. Again, you know, check a few other reviews, see what some people are saying, but expect more indie reviews like this. We're working with a number of different publishers and studios now, so that we can get you guys more reviews for these indie titles when there's a little lull in between the AAAs. You got about a week to play Blackwind before Pokemon comes out, or Pokemon, or Pokemon or something like that. So,
I got an email today from the Pokemon Center that due to global shipping constraints, I might not get my game on time. So we'll see.
You know what's always on time?
Digital. Yeah, digital.
On time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So, Banjo-Kazooie N64 game came out today. Does Crawler have that one all ready to rock?
I actually have an update. I need to update that tile.
Yeah, there you go. So that I jumped in, did a little first look video, spent some time, just spent some time roaming around. It's weird seeing a Nintendo 64 game look so clear and I mean, dare I say, even kind of look good, right? Like some of the text is still a little fuzzy, right? Like
there's something new to play.
There is. Well, I love the different sound effects when you have the 64 controller plugged in. Like I was really digging the sound effects, but even just like watching the way that the
old end, school Nintendo. Yeah.
Just the way that came in, and then seeing Rareware, like what year is it right now?
Where's Diddy Kong Racing? Like, I hope we get Diddy Kong Racing on here.
Oh dude, we can we're going to talk a little bit more about that just briefly. So hold that thought, but jumping in, I felt like the game ran pretty smooth. And weren't you guys saying that there were some updates to like Ocarina of Time and stuff? Cheesy, you saw a tweet or something?
Yeah, I saw Oatmeal Dome tweeted out that they made some improvements to Ocarina of Time. So it's nice to know that Nintendo is listening and is trying to fix some of the things that obviously need to be fixed. Even if it is slowly being fixed, they're working on it.
Yeah,
we're getting one game a month, right? We're getting one game a month.
And what's next, Johnny? What's next?
Majora's Mask is coming out in
sometime February, in February,
which is exciting. It's exciting, but like I'm sick of these slow. Like this, they announced these games back in October, right? And they're gonna drip feed us one per month.
And they've also stopped doing anything for SNES and NES.
And well, I guess they released 5 for Genesis, right?
There were 5 game Genesis. They did update Genesis.
I guess for me, like, I'm okay with them doing the one drip. Like, yes, it is annoying. And I think we all wish that all the games were there from the beginning. But because they have a subscription-based model, if they were to throw all of the games on there at once, people would just play their favorite games, and then they would back out of the subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I don't know if you could do, because a lot of the Switch games require the online subscription.
Also, I don't think you can. Well, for the expansion pack, I think you could only buy a year's worth, right?
Yeah.
You're dropping that extra money, that extra $30 for the year. Yeah. Like, why not just drop all the games? They already have the money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think if you cancel your subscription, I don't think
you get a refund. I think you'll wait until
the end. I think probably at the end, like you'll cancel it. It won't renew it. But
the thing is, I wonder what kind of data they're looking at and then saying, okay, we launched 6 games and only 2 got touched by the majority of the people that are playing. Now, granted,
some
of the
back games, and
because everyone wanted to see what that game was about. They probably did click on it.
Right. But MVP. I'm talking the data from the NES and the SNES, where they were like, okay, we did X amount of games, and if they weren't like major, nobody touched them. Whereas, like, how many people streamed this game today? Right? Because it was the only one. Like, it feels a little more strategic on their part instead of just going, here's everything.
It gets eyes on certain stuff specifically for what may be a brief window, but it's still eyes on.
Exactly.
Yeah, but so, I mean, everybody's going to play this game, beat it, or maybe not even beat it, and then just not play the N64 games for another month.
You're not wrong, but there was this Banjo was trending today on Twitter. So there, there's got to be some marketing numbers behind this as far as like, because as the consumer, you're going, I paid extra. And the expectation from what they did with the other systems were like, they just threw it all out. Like, we had it all, right? But then, and then we were getting large, like, lump sums throughout. And now just seeing one game, it's like, it's a tough pill to swallow, I guess. But
yeah,
they might also be a little gun shy because the games that they've been releasing on the SNES and NES, you know, it was like real bottom of the barrel stuff.
Yeah. After, well,
near the
SNES,
end.
SNES had such a strong launch with 30, was it 30 titles?
It was a lot. I don't know. I think it was, I want to say it launched with like 20 or 22 possibly.
Yeah, I think it was 21 then, or something.
Yeah. Very and great. then, but that was all the SNES Classic is also in my memory as well. Yeah, right.
And there's titles missing that are on the Classic that aren't on online. Specifically, like Mario RPG, and you'd like to see Square.
Earthbound.
You'd like to see Square, yeah. Earthbound and Square Play Nice. I would like a better version than just the mobile port of
Final Fantasy.
Well, no, Final Fantasy I think is actually decent, but what I think is on Steam and even
PlayStation
for Chrono Trigger. Yeah. I would like a more, because that game is so highly regarded, but I feel like so underplayed just because it is hard to find.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was on DS, I believe, as well. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, and I saw Stealth tweet today about some classic RPG that's getting like a, I think it's an HD remake, right? So it's like, I feel like the Switch has become this monster JRPG machine. Let's keep it going. Cause I would love to experience Chrono Trigger. Cause there's, I mean, it's
talked about camera.
It's talked about often, you know? So
are you playing with a 64 controller?
No, but I'm hitting the right stick, which is C buttons. Yeah, it probably is.
I just want to say shout out to Groovin. Thank you so much for that sub. Appreciate it. So, I know we're not seeing the amount of games we want, but there is something I would say about the quality, especially of this one, because this is probably one of the most unexpected titles, right? Like,
and we got it early. I thought they were going to hold it until the last minute. Like when they showed it last on the reveal trailer, like, oh no, that's going to be the last one we get. And then it, you know, it's one of the first ones. Yeah, it's one of the first ones. So the ones that they've been releasing are good. We got Paper Mario,
right?
We got Banjo, and we got Majora's Mask. So those are three very big, well-known titles that I don't even know what we're missing. Mario Golf,
F-Zero, Wave Race, 1080,
yeah, Wave Race.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This wasn't on the thing, but like that.
Yeah.
Nintendo owns that. Clear, free and clear. Like that is their game.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe in a year. How crazy would it be to play Tony Hawk Pro Skater on an N64 controller when in a year and a half, Microsoft has closed the deal and they play nice with Nintendo and put Tony Hawk 1 and 2 and 3. 3 was on 64 too, right? 1, 2, and 3.
Excellent segue.
I know, I'm crawling. Good like that.
Right into Xbox purchases Activision, and the question is, what does that mean? What does that mean for Nintendo? What's Oh, he's showing us Tony Hawk right now.
Yeah, that
Switch
looks
has
like
Tony Hawk.
That looks like you're playing it on a 64 on the Switch.
It does look like all of these like 3D or third-party ports that are just like Vaseline just smeared over it. But Tony Hawk 1 and 2 are on the Switch, all right? So stop being greedy.
And you could probably play them with your 64 controller. I'm betting it'll work.
1 and 2 are on the Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
this was like pretty shocking, right? Yeah, like
it wasn't a big deal. I think it like got swept under the rug. Nobody talked about it at all. This is like, why are we even talking about this? Is this even news?
Tuesday morning, right?
Yeah, Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
68.7 billion dollars.
68 billion. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of zeros that we're never gonna see a day in our life.
I saw a funny tweet today that was like, Phil Spencer spends $70 billion and gets a promotion. I buy a pair of shoes and my wife yells at me.
Well, we might see that kind of money if we invest in NFTs now. So,
the salt.
Johnny Bo Punk's coming to your NFT wallet soon.
OpenSea.
Yeah,
be on OpenSea. So, this was just so shocking, right? And immediately, my thought goes to what does this mean anything for Nintendo? Because I was in a retro game store the other day and looking and. On the Wii U games, there's Call of Duty, right? There's some of these Activision games, and you're just like,
lot of Activision games on the Switch right now. There's Activision Blizzard. There's Overwatch. There's Diablo, Diablo 2 and 3. There's Tony Hawk. The only thing that they don't really have is Call of Duty. They have Spyro.
Yeah. There hasn't been Call of Duty on a Nintendo platform since Wii U.
Wii U.
Yeah. Wii U,
yeah.
Is that Ghost?
So, other than that, I can't think of any other properties that they didn't have, that they don't have. Like WoW, but I mean that's PC only.
And WoW might be coming to Xbox. I mean, you never know.
We never know. We don't know. And it's more power to them. Right? Like the big play here in my mind is that they want Game Pass everywhere. They want Game Pass on PlayStation. And I would say that if they can get their cloud stuff to run better than what anything else has been running on the Switch, then you know
I saw a tweet from Greg Miller today that makes sense, and it makes a play like how you had kind of talked about, Josh. Because Phil Spencer put out a tweet, I think, to probably at Sony's urging, because I mean, I think they have a cordial business relationship with each other, even though, for now. Yes. But I think so. First off, Sony's stock has dipped $20 billion in profits or in valuation. Market share in the last 2 days. Mainly due to, I think, worry that Microsoft in a year and a half will pull what they did with Bethesda and honor some current contracts, but anything new moving forward, they're going to pull and hold for their own, which they've earned that right. If they can clear the hurdles that they're going to have to face on Capitol Hill and at the EU reviews that they have to go against for antitrust and all sorts of stuff that they're going to have to get through the hurdles for this purchase. But Phil Spencer said, Call of Duty and other stuff that is multi-platform, we will support and honor contracts and stuff is what he said. But Greg Miller put out a tweet that was like, yeah, they'll make an effort. They'll offer up Game Pass to PlayStation. And if they don't take it, then Call of Duty can't be on PlayStation anymore. Like that can be their Trojan horse and, yep. And it can be their way to be on every device. They already are making plans to just be on the TV. If you have, I mean, as simple as probably Chromecast or even your phone or even apps built directly into a TV, the cloud is getting better. It's still noticeable for Twitch.
And you can play cloud games stuff on your Xbox itself.
True. Yeah.
My kids wanted to play Skate 3. I handed them a controller. It had the cloud. I said, hit A and play. They didn't have to download anything. They just started playing. Right? That's not going to be the case for everybody because I understand not everybody has
enough internet to do it.
Yeah. But that's happened. Like I've been checking out some games on cloud. Just you hit A and play. Like it's,
well,
it's
especially incredible. Anymore with space as limited as it is.
Yeah.
Johnny has the 2 terabyte external thing for the Xbox. You have to buy M.2 SSD and a heat sink as well if you want to expand your stuff for PlayStation. And even with that, if you don't have that, you can have cold storage, but then you're moving stuff back and forth, which takes time and takes space if on an external drive. So if you can save space and play stuff in the cloud, great. And if this gets it on PlayStation, then cloud can possibly be in the future for Nintendo. Maybe we are able to see Rare Replay eventually come to Switch and get more ways to play stuff that we played on Nintendo. And I mean, I think it has upsides and downsides for the industry. And I think there's the future that like Nintendo can set a better work quality at those companies that have definitely devalued themselves. And I think the summer with the allegations and everything that came forward and the workplace culture and everything that they had definitely devalued Activision Blizzard enough for Microsoft. I don't think Microsoft was already in works to acquire that big of a company without there being stock and social implications for that company.
I remember when Phil even said like, we want Kodak out.
Like, that was in November. I think that was in November. And I think that they were already in the midst of an acquisition at that point.
And I think they confirmed that Kodak is going to step down once
that's via Wall Street Journal through. Via Wall Street Journal. Cause, he won't confirm that personally. And, Xbox, I think, won't confirm that either, but that's the rumor from probably non-named sources. But that's definitely what needs to happen. And that board of directors needs to be axed as well, but they'll just be absorbed into Microsoft Games. This will probably be the most aggressive that Microsoft takes a hands-on approach to replacing leadership at a studio, because they killed Lionhead a little bit. And when they tried to absorb and do their own thing with that, and it kind of killed off what creativity and what spark they had. And cause that was the Fable game that just caused that studio to shutter. Right. And then did they bring that studio back to life to do something? I don't even remember, but they killed it. But every other acquisition that they've done so far has been lead leadership in place and let them just have the security of the Microsoft web around them and don't worry about money. Don't worry about don't worry about business side of stuff. Just be creative and do stuff. This is going to be a more aggressive, take the people, the good people that are there and nurture that, but they need to have leadership inserted back into it that can help.
what if Xbox gets like very creative here? What if it's, you know, I think for those of us that have grown up playing consoles for a very long time, we think, oh, what's PlayStation going to do? Right. But if Xbox has an app that could be downloaded and all you need is a controller that hooks up via Bluetooth to your TV, they don't need it on PlayStation, because how many more TVs are there than even PlayStations, right?
Everyone already has a phone too.
And then you grab your something like
How's Stadia doing?
Right. It's but they don't have the names that now, like, for me to go, like, for even a you know, somebody that might be a little more casual gamer and goes, okay, I pay all these other subscription fees for TV, but now I can have all the Call of Duties, all these, like, I mean, that's such a huge list of games at their fingertips that I spend $60 on a controller and I download an app, or they just make like a Roku style console that just hooks
up. The problem with Stadia too was you had to pay for the Chromecast and did you have to pay for the service too?
Yep, it was a month.
And then,
fee.
But then you had to buy each.
No, you only had to pay for the higher tier.
But then you had to buy each game. And the beauty of Game Pass.
That was the issue.
Yeah, the beauty with Game Pass is you pay $15 a month for Ultimate, or $10, I think, for just the. I don't know what it is.
I have a feeling that they're going to hike this up, because $70 billion, that's a lot of money to make up.
It is, but I mean, look.
They're at 25 million subscribers right now. 25 million. They just. And they put out numbers last week. I know that we're talking a lot about Xbox.
But the Series X or Series
is only a million units behind PlayStation right now.
Yeah,
I mean, they're all selling out, and if anything, this is going to sell a lot more S's that are easier to find. And it's eventually they're gonna have the app on.
Are you guys an
Amazon Fire Stick and just on the TVs and. It's going to be everywhere.
Are you guys ready for this?
Let's do it.
If they had only purchased Call of Duty Mobile, it would only take them approximately 7 years to pay back the $70 billion.
King is gonna that
mobile they have acquisition Candy Crush gonna, now. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, Microsoft should just like they have a good. Relationship with Nintendo. Let's bring it back to Nintendo. Just put Candy Crush on Switch. Put Call of Duty. Put Call of Duty Mobile on Switch. Like that would work fine on the Switch.
It would be fantastic. I've played it on my back with my backbone. It would be a perfect title for the Switch.
Smoking kids.
Absolutely dominating. Exactly. It's just like playing Fortnite when it first came out, right? You were playing against a lot of mobile people.
But, so it's weird about I guess they got burned real bad with the Wii U with Black Ops, and I think there was actually two on there, but they had Call of Duty games on the DS.
Yep.
They had Modern Warfare. The original Modern Warfare, and I think they had Black Ops on the DS.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why they want to bring it to Switch.
They got off tilt with the current generation. And I think it was too much of a liability and a question. Activision axed it probably because it wasn't worth the R&D to write the code that was so specific and off kilter from the other two versions that it just, the cost benefit wasn't there. They weren't moving copies.
It was probably also the Wii U as well. Like, yeah, they did have some Call of Duty games on the Wii U, but I think a lot of people lost trust in Nintendo after the Wii U, and they're like, okay, well, we don't know what you're doing next, and that Wii U was crazy, so I think we're going to sit this one out.
EA still doesn't trust Nintendo.
I know, it doesn't make any sense. Now, like, the Switch has sold 100 million units.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is released on the Switch sells well, and if you release a Call of Duty, everything sells well. What didn't sell well on the Switch?
I think third parties are suffering on Switch, especially now 5 years into the life cycle.
I don't know. I think Doom did pretty well. Skyrim did pretty well. Like
Skyrim's still doing well because they're still selling it for $50 or whatever.
And this is Call of Duty. A lot of people play Fortnite on Switch. Mm-hmm. A lot of people play Fortnite on Switch. This is Call of Duty. It's not, I don't know. LA Noir or whatever the heck that game was.
Like, right. Yeah. From Rockstar.
Nobody's going to buy that game on the Switch.
Yeah.
But Call of Duty?
LA Noir also doesn't fit on the base model Switch. You have to have an SD card.
Yep.
It's larger than the internal 32 gigs of memory. Well, you only have 28 to work with after the OS, but
Call of Duty Mobile, the game enjoyed great success in its opening months, amassing 88 million downloads worldwide in the first month after release. The first month, 88 million downloads.
Think of how many phones are in the world.
I get it, but if only a fraction of the Switch owners download that, is it even worth their time? That's the question that I have. Like, is it worth their time to put this stuff
Switch? I think it is because I think Fortnite's a good,
The E3 where Fortnite came out, it blew up on Switch.
Yeah. There's Fortnite bundles. There's two Fortnite bundles. There's Fortnite Joy-Con bundles.
You can buy you can buy a physical copy of the game in a box.
Yeah. That I actually have one. I have one of I have the Joker pack or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think Fortnite is doing really well on Switch because of the age of the player base. And Call of Duty, I'm sorry, it has the same age player base as especially a Call of Duty Mobile. Like, that is younger.
Do you think, Call of Duty Mobile, yes, but if that's probably the extent of it though, right? They're not going to do Warzone. Cause
cloud.
Warzone is already 200 and what?
One of my most popular YouTube video is port Warzone to the Switch.
Yeah. Did you start that video by
The people want it.
Did you start that video by going to Amazon and buying a $400 terabyte SD card and then deleting everything off your Switch? And then
I said, they would have to tweak the game size. And I think I even mentioned in the video that they should just bring over Call of Duty Mobile because it has a battle royale.
Uh-oh.
Josh just leave because
I'm still here. No, I'm still here.
So, Call of Duty Mobile has a battle royale. There's a battle royale in there.
Yep, it does.
So it's, I don't know. The Switch is
I think
a lot of people don't want mobile games on there, but it's set up for it. It's perfect for it.
I think Call of Duty Mobile would do better than Apex.
Apex is one of the worst on the Switch. Arguably one of the worst poorly running games on the Switch.
Well, because how you can perform in the game is affected by the limitations of the Switch.
Yeah, you're 30
draw distance, 30 FPS, just the
I know
mud,
people that
the mud that and Vaseline on your face.
There's a player base there. There's people playing it.
They're on an island now, right? They aren't integrated. Are they on a Switch island for that?
No, I don't think so.
If you turn crossplay off, you don't find matches.
Yeah.
That's what we
saw. Everybody's playing crossplay.
Well, and how much space does that? Is that like a 19 gig download?
It was a big one.
SD cards are cheap.
They're getting better. Yeah.
Says Johnny with how many games archived right now?
I do have a 400 gigabyte SD card.
Keeping this in the kind of back to Nintendo S. We've talked about Diddy Kong Racing, right? Mm-hmm. Which now is called Rare Racers. They've kind of renamed it. But Xbox now has Crash Team Racing, which
they have Spyro.
Competent racer next to Mario Kart.
Exactly. And they could have that team now say, hey, guess what? The gang's all here. And you've got Chief, and you've got what was the guy from Call of Duty with the mustache
Price.
You got Price and Soap. Just
I want to see Warthog
and if they did Chief and the Mini Warthog in Fortnite as a kart racer,
how cool would it be? Bringing it back to Nintendo, Microsoft gave Banjo to Smash and they gave Steve the Smash. Like, have Nintendo put one of their characters in, like, these.
That's funny.
I know.
That's funny.
It would have to be like a weird offshoot character.
Link,
like,
was in Soul Calibur.
Shy guy, like a random red shy guy.
Link was in Soul Calibur on GameCube. Was in
Soul Calibur. That's true.
Yeah. On GameCube.
But I mean, if they have this, like, I'm always thinking, like, what is Microsoft getting out of these deals? Like, they are just giving and giving to Nintendo. Banjo, Steve, you know, Banjo Kazooie on the N64.
They got bumps and downloads, is what they got.
It's
an advertising campaign. They're getting compensation, I'm sure, from Nintendo for it, but it's also an advertising campaign that they sold copies of Minecraft on Switch and on Xbox. I'm sure they also sold copies of Minecraft Dungeons pretty well across both all those platforms as well. And then probably a Rare Replay saw a bump in downloads, and also just downloading the game. When games like that pop up, they become part of the conversation. Just like today when Banjo came out, it was trending on Twitter, like Josh said.
And who knows the way these deals worked? It could have been like Nintendo said, yeah, you can put, I'm speculating, but yeah, you can put Cuphead and Ori and, you know, some of those other games on our eShop as well. That also benefits Nintendo. So we don't know how those conversations go exactly, but, and maybe it's not more of a, like a, maybe they're just like, yo, this is just good for gaming, right? Like better there's so together. Much, it's better together, and it's just more, it's more brand recognition. Not everything is about sales all the time. It is about building brand. And if you think where Microsoft was, Nintendo is technically helping Microsoft by putting those characters on to their platform and saying, here's where you could go play, you know, Banjo again if you wanted to, is over with on Game Pass with Rare.
So you're saying we're getting Captain Price in the next Smash Bros?
I would say absolutely. No, I mean, I have no idea, but Xbox has now really positioned themselves as a company that can, they're not just going to be the shooter company any longer, right? Like, all these other titles are platforming.
After they acquire a bunch of
shooters. They have all the shooters now.
and they do have, I mean, almost, right? Like, so I think...
Call of Duty, Overwatch.
Yep.
Halo. Gears of War.
Yeah.
Quake.
Yeah. Yeah, Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark.
Minecraft. Right?
Crossfire
that comes out.
Crossfire is coming out in February, right?
Rainbow Six Extraction.
Yeah, Destiny is on Game Pass, right? Like, yeah, it's the place to play shooters for sure. But the thing that excites me the most is, how does this light a fire under PlayStation, and how does it light a fire under Nintendo to then go, how do we? You know, I mean, Nintendo's they're always playing to their the beat of their own drum, right? I mean, they're always just like, I saw the best tweet ever was like, Microsoft acquires Activision and Nintendo's here like Kirby fishing, you know, like they're just like, Kirby's just sitting on a beach with because a hat
it
on.
I don't think it really affects Nintendo in any way. The only thing that I could see happening, which I highly doubt, is all of the Activision games that are already on Switch no longer come to Switch. That's the only thing I could see.
That's 100 million units that they would not be able to sell to. So
I can see them yanking it on PlayStation just to, you know, stick it to PlayStation, but Nintendo, they have a good relationship with.
Yeah. Cheesy, what do you think? You've been quiet.
I mean, I've been quiet because, like, I agree. I was going to bring up that tweet as well with Kirby fishing, because I do think that is exactly how Nintendo is right now. Like, they're just keeping quiet. They probably want
no
part of it right now. They're waiting for things to settle. And then after things start moving, maybe they're in talks with them to, I know that we already have Spyro and Crash on the Switch, but if they wanted to bring back those original ports, maybe that goes on to the Nintendo Switch Online. The thing is, yes, they have like Crash and Spyro, and I'm just focusing on those because those seem like more possibilities of Nintendo properties or properties that Nintendo would have on the Switch. Xbox has to do something with them, and that is really concerning to me because, like, they've had Banjo, they've had Rare for years, and the only thing that they've done with Rare is
Sea of Thieves. Sports.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Sea of Thieves, and then they have what, Everwild coming out in like 20 years or something.
Yeah, I mean, what happened to that game? So I don't know. It's a little concerning that they bought all these properties, and you're just hoping that they do something with them. But as far as Nintendo, this is a Nintendo podcast. I don't really think that this affects them at all, especially for this year. They're probably like, oh, that's cool. Well, we also have Breath of the Wild 2 coming out. We have Splatoon 3. We have Bayonetta. Like, yeah. We have all the best exclusives.
That makes me think of the antitrust thing and the anti-monopoly stuff that this deal is going to have to go through. And it's like Nintendo's over here in their own little world.
Mm-hmm. And Sony has like
billions
good
and
stable.
Billions and billions of dollars. And like, mm-hmm. It's not a monopoly because there's so many different players in the video game space that Nintendo is still going to be there no matter what. Even if Microsoft buys PlayStation, like that would never happen. But if they absorb all these other companies, Nintendo is still going to be there doing their own thing.
Well, I think where any argument against antitrust and all that kind of stuff, if Sony tries to bring that up, Sony is second in revenue, like per whatever, behind Tencent. Like that's it. Like they're still way up there on revenue because they're moving copies of games that they do have. But it is it's a scary prospect because Microsoft has a precedent where they had these contracts for Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo that they're honoring for PlayStation, but Starfield, a game that hasn't come out yet that we know very little about, got ripped out from underneath them. Like that's Xbox exclusive. So anything potentially going forward can just be taken away. I mean, because
if Microsoft sees this stuff going sideways, I think they'll yank it from PlayStation. Like the Call of Duty.
Call of Duty Black Ops. The best-selling Call of Duty didn't hit 31 million. Now, I'm not saying that like it's a small number.
Wow, 31 million. I know where you're going with this. I understand.
Because Mario Kart has how many copies out?
Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about a game that could not be more casual on one console. Whoa.
just trying to save your reviews here, man.
But I like Sub's comment. Said Nintendo puts out a Pokemon game as it's automatically a success. Like they're not going to hurt with these deals. It's true.
Yep. Yeah. The only thing I hope it does is just continue to push Nintendo and PlayStation to like what this is what we're you guys know if you've been gaming. Especially in the last 20 years, for the last 20 years, PlayStation dominated in the PlayStation, Xbox, GameCube era, right?
Well, they haven't had a poor selling console yet.
They haven't. PlayStation Except 2.
They had a stumble dominated. On PlayStation 3.
360, which had Perfect Dark, a Rare title for a launch game. It also had Banjo Nuts and Bolts, right? It also had, what was it, Cameo? Right, that was another Rare. Like Rare pumped out a lot of stuff on the 360, and then
Viva Pinata. Yeah.
Yes,
you also had Sony executives telling people to get a second job.
But Viva Pinata was also on DS, and so was Diddy Kong Racing, and so that it's not like the Nintendo relationship is anything new, right? Like this has been a long ongoing.
That's because I think Microsoft. Hopefully they understand who their audience is and they understand who Nintendo's audience is and, you know, they want different things. Like I could honestly see them partnering with Nintendo in some way to bring another Spyro or bring another Crash or bring another Banjo. Like they have to play to the strengths of these IPs, and that's where they stumbled when they released Banjo Nuts and Bolts. Like that's not a game people that play Xbox want to play.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this whole thing is an Xbox flex to bolster Game Pass. Obviously, I think that's a big play, because when they can put all the Call of Duties going back however far that'll run on the Xbox Series X,
dude,
just available for you to play. It's there. It's included. It bolsters the Game Pass library that's just always there, that isn't going to leave. Like that's also part of the worry, is when stuff is leaving Game Pass. That'll just always be there. But it's also day and date, the new stuff. It's there. If you want to play Call of Duty, it's included with your $15 a month. It's there. But like Josh said earlier, the mobile department that they're buying with King is going to pay for itself in X number of years. They don't have
to. World of Warcraft. Like there's...
And World of Warcraft. But World of Warcraft, the $15 a month subscription could get rolled into Game Pass, because I don't know. If they can get more players in there buying more cosmetics, if you have more people there and you don't have to, like...
If they can get me playing World of Warcraft, they'll be set. With cat ears on everything, it will be good.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. I think it's obviously just a flex to bolster what they already have, to possibly be a Trojan horse to get into other consoles or onto more devices, just as they want. And the mobile department's going to make them money without affecting the quote unquote core gamer hub that does have a bad taste in their mouth for mobile, but let that stay separate and they'll generate revenue off of it. And maybe they'll even take some of their IP and let King run with it. Like, and they
maybe they won't even do anything. Maybe they'll just let them do what they've been doing. Like it makes money. They're mm-hmm. make like Activision is making money. They might clean house for leadership, but other than that, like the games, Call of Duty prints money.
Well, Vanguard not so much right now.
A Warzone, WoW, it's like 5 million a day or something. It's some stupid number.
WoW has about 5 million subscribers. So those people are already paying how much per month? I'm not sure. I don't have that in 15. Front of me. But that's the same price. If WoW gets rolled into Game Pass, and just like EA Play got rolled in, then you just added... Like if those people are just now, hey, now you're in the Xbox ecosystem just because you're a WoW player, you now have access to all these other games for that $15 a month. Maybe it's even 20. Maybe they raise it $5, mm-hmm. right? So that you include WoW.
Or they raise Ultimate.
They have tiers.
The PC,
I can see them having tiers.
They could get a third tier. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, if they get cloud, I mean, there's the possibility that we could literally be playing most of these games on Switch if they get the cloud stuff working and Game Pass makes its way over there. Like,
geez, do you like any of the Activision games? Like, are you, I wasn't accusing you of anything. I didn't know if you have any history with any of their properties.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think that's probably why this whole time, like, this buyout has not really affected me. But I do think about those that are playing or that were connected to Spyro and Crash Bandicoot, and now they're no longer on Sony, they're moved to Xbox. And I can imagine, like, what does that feel like for Mario to be on Xbox? You know, like, that character is taken away from you. And so,
I can,
like,
tell you what it feels like. Perfect Dark.
Oh yeah, Rare is
taken from Nintendo. Like,
Banjo was taken from Nintendo.
Yeah,
I was crushed with Perfect Dark. That was my.
And then it wasn't a great game either.
And it wasn't fantastic. keep going.
Yeah, the closest I think that we have gotten back to Rare is Mario plus Rabbids. Like, that game had so much charm in it. It had the Grant Kirkhope music or score. It was really well done. It was charming. And I guess we've had like Platonic, you know, with Ukulele. It wasn't as good as Banjo.
Second one was a little bit better.
The second one,
the Impossible Layer.
Yeah,
yeah, the 2D platformer.
Not yeah, yeah, one. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I did play Guitar Hero a lot, and I know that they're open.
They're open to resurrecting some dead franchises, is what they said.
And I also think that like we probably aren't going to see anything from Xbox in like years, because I mean, even with that tweet that Phil Spencer put out about Xbox and Call of, or PlayStation and Call of Duty, I mean, that was very well worded. What it was like they were going to honor the contracts and like, yeah, they'll stay here. Yeah, yeah. And so I don't think that we're going to see anything until those contracts are up, and then maybe Nintendo gets a piece of the pie.
It feels more like Nintendo just has to play ball and be like, do you want Game Pass? How does PlayStation and Nintendo benefit from offering Game Pass on their platform?
So what I was thinking, a lot of people are down on the cloud gaming on Switch, right? It's not good. It's not good.
It's a bad Guardians. Look for games that come that way.
Yeah.
Guardians suffered. Hitman suffered.
Control. I played
Kingdom
a little bit.
Hearts.
We're getting Kingdom Hearts in a month. And if that would be the value, right? The X Cloud. If they could bring the X Cloud to the Switch, that would be where.
Especially in a year and a half, benefit. The technology would be even better.
Yeah. And when we got a Switch Pro.
What if, what if the whole reason the new dock has the landline is because of cloud gaming?
I mean, or there's more,
or the Ethernet.
There's more in there.
They are announcing more cloud games. Like, we have Dying Light 2 coming out here in a week or so. We had Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. We had Guardians last year. So I guess there are some. Somebody's buying these games.
I just the fact that they put the Ethernet on this dock now versus the first one, it tells me like either like if they flip 4K on and you're going to be able to, you know, is it for streaming purposes so that you could watch 4K if they end up putting Netflix and something else on there? There's got to be a reason that Ethernet cable is now there.
We also have, halfway through the Switch's life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So what in the next 5 years are we going to get?
Yeah.
What's down the pipeline?
I mean, the advantage to companies that put out a cloud gaming title is they don't have to have a third party rewrite their code. It's running on a PC, on a server.
I don't think they even maintain the servers. I think it's
no, but like it's the game code that's on Xbox, PlayStation, PC, because that code is all similar language versus what it would have to be for the Switch. It's very little. It's cut and paste more so. I mean, like because it's running an architecture that is not the Switch. And the internet is your platform, and it's running on a server somewhere. And so take advantage of xCloud or AWS or whatever system they're using, and they're able to give you a game. It suffers, but as the technology gets better and latency can come down and high-speed internet is more available to the masses, and it can be better.
I would think, too, when it comes to cloud gaming, it's got to be a little bit more profitable for the devs and the publishers, right? Because you're now eliminating any need to print anything. You don't have to necessarily scale this game. Like, it does not have to be programmed exactly for the Switch. Mm-hmm. It just needs to run in the cloud. And the Switch becomes nothing more than a controller at that point. And I assume that's the way the technology is going. I mean, the company I work for, that's the kind of stuff we're building right now, right? That you can just pop our product onto Unity, and then boom, you have multiplayer, you have leaderboards, right? Like, and that's the future. And that puts more games in all of our hands when that becomes, that's a good thing. But we have to have the infrastructure for that to work as well, right? Like, we're not quite.
Don't charge me $60 for these games too.
No, not yet. Not yet. But there are, I mean, I guarantee there are people listening to this right now that are like, the Switch is my only system and this is my only chance to play Kingdom Hearts. I'm going to deal because I want to experience Jeezy's these games here for the first time.
Why are you calling Jeezy out like that? Right here. Are you going to play Kingdom Hearts, Jeezy?
I don't know. I mean, there's a demo, so I feel like I should just like to try it out. But
that sounded like I have to go to the dentist almost. Like,
apparently, the Kingdom Hearts, the people have played the demo and it's not good. Like, it's one of the worst running ones so far. But yeah, I mean, you're right. There are Nintendo only fans. There are, you know, we're probably in the minority that have access to all three systems.
I as we wrap this up, because we're already over an hour, I forgot to mention this when we were talking about Banjo, but I told my daughter two things. On Tuesday night, we sat down, all six of the people in my house, and played Mario Kart on the couch. We each had a Switch in our hand and we all played Mario Kart together.
How bad was the next code just locally?
Well, we couldn't do that because of the way I do shared digital copies. Mm-hmm. We had to go online. So, but it gave me some great idea for content, but it was also an incredibly fun time. Like, everybody was laughing. Everybody was swearing at each other. I can't believe you hit me with this effing red shell, you know, that kind of thing. Like, it was really, really a good time. The thing is, though, I told my daughter, I said, hey, Banjo-Kazooie's coming out on the Switch. And she's like, oh my gosh, I loved playing the bird in that game. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, well, Gavin would give me a controller.
That, oh no.
Classic.
Oh man. Here, play with this controller that's not plugged in.
Had no batteries in it. And she would always ask, like, how come sometimes he jumps and sometimes he doesn't? And I was dying. I was absolutely dying. So I got to go. As soon as we finish up here, I'm going to go let her know she can download it and she can actually play herself.
Hoping through all of this, all of the buyouts and everything, that we just get more games with characters with googly eyes. It just needs to happen.
That's, yep.
And then the whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many sounds that they reused from like Mario 64 in Banjo, like the sound of the, I don't know what they're called. They're like the thwomps that would fall over in 64. Like that. Yeah, that's in Banjo. I was like, you know, the same sound that like Donkey Kong would make. It's first area. Like
the oof.
Almost like 2 a.m, but I want to play some Banjo-Kazooie now. Thanks, guys.
There you go. All right. Chat, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. It's been awesome. We are going to start on time next Thursday, 9 p.m. Pacific, 12 a.m. Eastern. Johnny here, an animal. Absolute animal.
Pretty. It's better for me. That's better for me. At least we start on time. And
yes. Yeah, we will make sure we do that. So thank you guys so much for being here, and we will see you in the next one. Bye, everybody.